Bombs, powder keg of dynamite. We got this hockey on roll tonight. I said, don't be slow. The boy in the back, you know. I said, don't be slow. Ready to rock and roll.
Welcome to Leafs Lounge, a hockey podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Travis. Travis, how's it going?
Pretty good, Adam, minus our Leafs. Everything else is going pretty fine, but
yeah,
I'm really excited to tear into the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
It's going to be one of those, ladies and gentlemen. Remember when last month, or the last time we did this, it's been longer than normal because we wanted to wait till the trade deadline. But the last time we did this, everything was positive. Things were going in the right direction. Sheldon Keefe had just been hired. They had won, I think they had gone, 9 of 10 or 10 of 11 or something like that. Things were going really good, and now we're here. But we'll talk about that. I just want to inform everybody, all of our listeners, that this month's podcast is brought to you by a new sponsor for us. It's the Zamboni Association of Canada. No, I'm just kidding, but that'll factor into our conversation a little bit later on. But it was the trade deadline today, as of this recording. The Leafs didn't do a whole hell of a lot in terms of notes, but they we'll talk about the trades they made prior to the deadline as well. So on that note, Travis, the first trade that we were made aware of in terms of the Leafs as a whole was the acquisition of Jack Campbell and
Kyle Clifford.
Kyle Clifford, yeah. And we gave up, I believe it was Trevor Moore.
Trevor Moore, I think, had a fourth round pick, maybe.
Right, yeah. So, just a quick quick thought from you. What do you make of this trade?
Great trade, Adam. A trade that I wish would have happened far earlier in the season. But all the digging I've been able to do, apparently the price was a lot higher, like a second round pick earlier in the season. So I can understand why they were hesitant to do that with them dealing their first to get rid of Marlo. So I can understand. I think it's a great trade. I don't know if it was too little too late for us, but it really solidified the backup goaltending spot that we were getting horribly raked over the coals with.
Yeah, I mean, it'll depend on how many more games Campbell plays, obviously. Whether it's too late or too little or too late, well, I mean, that'll be determined by, again, how many games he plays, how many he can win, and
if he's coming back next year.
Well, I think he'll come
back. Is he contracted?
He's contracted, yeah.
Okay, well,
he's got two more years on the.
Well, I think we have our backup goalie for the next couple of years.
Maybe. Yeah, I think we're good on that front now. And Kyle Clifford, to me, brings energy, brings toughness, some grit, and look, I don't think it's needed to the necessity of the Brian Burke era. You know, the truculence, belligerence, and all that other crap that he used to say. I don't think it's necessarily needed to that level, but look, it's something the Leafs are sorely lacking, or were sorely lacking. And it's evident that it's something that they're deficient in, because one of the things I notice about this team is that they, when they go in the corners, it seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong and I'm just seeing things, but that when we go into the corners, we're losing a lot of battles, at least right now, we're losing a lot of battles. Just, it's and especially from our bottom two lines, I mean, there was a willingness or a lack of willingness to compete, at least from what I saw. You think that's a fair assessment?
I think that's a more than fair assessment. He's definitely sorely needed, and I think that he plays a perfect role on that fourth line. I still think those people are valuable in the game today.
Right, yeah. It's just, I mean, like, you don't want a whole team of them, but
Well, even those guys couldn't skate, Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren.
Yeah, it couldn't. I mean, with a stick in their hand, they were useless. It's like, what do we do with this? Kyle Clifford, I mean, he's not going to score you 15 to 20 goals, but that's not what you need. You just need him to, again, provide that grit, that edge in the corners, that, you know, the sandpaper, if you will. And what was he got into? One, if not two fights since he's been here. So, and standing up for the guys that get pushed around. I'm fully on board with him being here. I mean, he doesn't have a contract beyond this year, but we'll see how that goes, and if he returns. Then we come to our next trade. It was funny enough, the Florida Panthers. And we got, what was it? What's his name? Is it Dennis?
Yeah, a whole lot of minor league deals we're going to be talking about now.
Yeah. It's Dennis Malgin is the one guy we got. And we gave up, what did we give up for him?
Marchman.
Tim Marchman. Again, I, what can I say about Malgin, you know, this early on into his Leaf career? I mean, he looked okay, in the game against Pittsburgh on Thursday night, the home game against Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was creating stuff. He was in the midst of the action. He was all over the ice. He's got some speed. You know, in relation to Marchman, I mean, he's a smaller guy than Marchman is. But Marchman apparently was injury prone. So I don't know. And was Marchman gonna find himself a regular spot on this team at any point?
No.
Who knows? Then again, I don't know what Malgin's contract status is beyond this season. It's not something that I really looked into. But again, we'll see what he's brought to the end of the last 19 games here, and hopefully beyond. But who the hell, at this point, who knows? But again, it's for me, in terms of that trade, the jury's out. What about you? Did you notice anything?
That trade was a little these trades. I honestly feel like they're Kyle Dubas making trades for the Marlies more than making trades for the Leafs.
Yeah.
I think that these guys probably aren't going to factor into the plans long term.
Yeah.
I think they're more stop gaps for, like, until Mikheyev gets back, for example. Janssen is probably toast for the rest of the year with a knee injury and surgery on that. So I don't know, maybe it's a replacement for him, but even that, I don't know if that's quite up to snuff.
Right.
The most important thing I think that came through this whole thing was Muzzin's extension.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I wanted to save that.
Sorry.
It's okay. No. For the last thing we talked about before we get on to some of the debacles that were the games since we last talked. But
I think that is the major thing to look to. That he they got him under six, and only 4 years, so it's a shorter term for a defenseman that's 31. That we both know that with the new NHL, by the time you're 35, you're usually out of the league.
Yeah, or on your last
look at Brent Seabrook from Chicago. He was a really good defenseman, and he's just fallen off a cliff, and he still gets paid a very high salary. I think it's $7 million a year. So
yeah, and he's locked in for a few more years, isn't he?
Yes. So this is good. With only being 4 years, you can live with that, and I just think that he's a heart and soul player for the team. He blocks shots. He's physical. He's one of the only people I'm not afraid of that can take care. Not afraid of being able to take care of themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
challenged.
Yeah, I mean, so the contract is 4 years, and it's what, 5.5 something.
5.625.
Okay. Yeah, per year, which is very manageable, I think. And look, throughout this whole debacle of the last few weeks here, he's been a consistent, quality player, and also, but not only on the ice, but in the room, you know. And he was the first one to call the team out on their play. And then, not only did he, what I liked about Muzzin was not only did he say the words and repeat the cliches,
he backed it up the next game.
Right, exactly, and had, what, a goal and two assists or something like that?
Yes, he played one of the best games of the year.
You know, speaking of cliches, Travis, I don't know what's going on with the Leafs, but apparently they have that song, Man in the Mirror, by Michael Jackson, stuck in their head, because they keep saying, we got to look in the mirror. You know, they've been saying it for, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks. And, okay, there's the outlier game against Pittsburgh, where they were, you know, they did the job. But it's like, what have you been looking at in this mirror? Because aside from that one game, I don't really see much improvement.
It's a damn dumpster fire, Adam, if we're being completely frank here. They won the first two games after we stopped, after our last podcast. And ever since then, it's been win, one, lose, one, win, two, lose, two, win.
Yeah.
One lose, two. It's been the only thing that's been saving grace is that Florida has been sucking pretty hard as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason, let's be honest.
Yes.
By the way, the other minor trade that he made today was we got rid of the dead weight that was Michael Hutchinson, and we got back Callie Rosen, who we traded for in the Kadri deal. And from what I understand, Kyler Rosen will basically be with the Leaf roster until Riley and CeCe come back, which is supposedly some point in March. Look, the less I have to see of Marincin, the better. Anybody's an upgrade over Marincin.
How do we still try him as a people? Can't we accept that Martin Marincin is not an NHL defenseman? He's a very good AHL defenseman, but he just can't play in NHL. I don't know how many teams have to give him tries. He's played with Toronto twice now. He's played with Edmonton once, and he's been dog shit every time.
I think when Edmonton gives up on you as a defenseman, that should be the telltale sign, because good Lord, do they need defensemen, just like we do. But, you know, when they give up on you, that should be a sign. I don't know why the Leafs picked him up in the first place. And you're right. You know, if you watch him with the Marlies, he looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute, is that the same guy? And then he comes up here and he craps his pants. I don't understand it. You know, to me, the most obvious and ridiculous example of his lack of defensive awareness is there's a still photograph of the first goal from the Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh, tip-in, where Marincin looks like he's on his way to the bench, and he's half looking over his shoulder thinking, and in my head the caption is, oh shit, was I supposed to take that guy? But of course, it was his birthday, so apparently that's why he got back in the lineup. You know, apparently just because it's your birthday, you get to play a game. Well, guess what? On my birthday, I like to have dinner with Margot Robbie. Is that going to happen? Anybody going to do that for me?
Maybe if Sheldon Keefe was your life coach, maybe you might be able to get that.
Yeah, come on, Sheldon. You hook me up with Margot Robbie for my birthday. If we're giving out, you know, hand-me-downs because it's somebody's birthday, that's what I want. Yeah, you know. The less I have to see of him, the better. I would like to say, I hope after this season or however many more games he plays, I never see him in a Leaf uniform again. But I know that's not going to be the case, because the Leafs signed him to $750,000 one-year extension. Did we talk about his extension on the last episode?
I think we laughed at it.
Yeah, okay, well, in case I didn't say this, let me give you my analogy. I don't know if anybody's ever done this. I haven't, because it's a little strange. But have you ever had a fascination to wipe your ass with $750,000? Apparently, Kyle Dubas did, because that's what he did when he signed Martin Marincin. There, it's like, in case you didn't hear the first time, there it is again.
If I win the lottery tomorrow night, I may have a fascination to do that, but I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that with my cap space. For one, I hope he stays in the minors next year and never sees the light of a big club. Yeah. That would be the only way that this would make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, all right. So we've done the trades. We've done everything there. I'm going to give you my sort of positives first, okay? So basically, my positives were really the four games that Jack Campbell played.
I can agree with that, to be honest with you. And the one game in Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, of course, yeah. But in terms of Jack Campbell, you know, he went 3-0-1, so that's 7 out of a possible 8 points. If he gets one more win this season, he'll have the same amount as Michael Hutchinson in far less games. You know, he played, what was it, Phoenix, Dallas, Ottawa, and Montreal, right? Those were the four games that he played. And what I noticed about him was he's just so very calm in the net. He's very economical in his movements. He's not flopping around. Like, Michael Hutchinson looked like a beached whale, you know, or a seal, just flopping around everywhere. He's just, again, when the other team's coming down the ice and Campbell's in net, there's just, to me, I'm relaxed. You know why? Because I'm not assuming every shot's going to go in. And like I said, I think he's just got a poise about him that we haven't had in the backup position since Michelini. And even Michelini had a little bit of that nervous energy to him, but he managed to make the save. You know what I mean? But Campbell's just so calm and concise in there, and he just, I really love this acquisition. And I, you know, the game against Ottawa, because we got up 3-0 at one point against Ottawa, correct?
Yeah.
And then in typical Leaf fashion, they forget to take your foot off, lighten up on the gas pedal. The Leafs took their foot off completely and then put the car in autopilot.
They do that a lot. They do it a lot, Adam. They do that a hell of a lot.
Yeah. I think they want to drive, all automatic driving cars and they just apply that to their gameplay when they get up in a game. But you know, so we basically, there were moments where it looked like they left him out to dry, and he made the big saves. And you need your backup goalie. When the game is close, he's going to have to make one huge save, at least, in the third period to preserve you the game. He did that. So I was very, like, it's a stark contrast from both Sparks and Hutchinson. But I'm just, like, I'm over the moon about Campbell right now. And I think, look, in all honesty, Travis, I don't know if Anderson is 100% there in terms of coming from off his injury.
Well, he's having the worst season he's had as a Leaf.
You mean numbers?
Not even close. If you, not even close. If you look at numbers, he had a great start, great first month, and he's been pretty much poopy since then.
Yeah, to me, so, he's gone downhill ever since he got named to the All-Star team. I don't know about you, but that's when I started noticing it.
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on that because it's been a while now. But that sounds right. He's just not giving us the time they say we need. Although in his defense, like, he's getting shellacked and 2-on-1, 3-on-1. The Leafs have no five-man defensive ability at all. Like, they're running around their own zone. That Pittsburgh game Tuesday past, like 6 days ago now, to this recording, the first time they played Pittsburgh in that home back-and-back, that was one of the most embarrassing games I have witnessed. I thought that was going to be the most embarrassing game.
Exactly.
But, and also, the even more frustrating thing is the way they played when they were home in that back-to-back. I was like, now this is how you play. You can beat teams like this. You can beat any team like this. And then they revert back to complete poop again, playing a Carolina team that I podcast with four other people from Carolina, and I can promise you not one of those people can name one player from Carolina. Like, people of Carolina really don't care that much about this franchise, and yet they're out here squashing the dreams and hopes of a team that has the biggest fan base in the NHL. It's rather funny to me when I think about it like that. I'm just like, people could care less in Carolina if they make the playoffs or if the team gets moved. And I'm here like, completely wants to throw my chairs, trim my TV. I'm that angry at the way my team is performing. It's terrible, Adam. It's just terrible.
It seems to me, and I don't know. Like, I know teams do this every once in a while, but maybe once a season, twice a season. But it seems to me that whenever the Leafs have a really good game, they can't follow it up with another really good game. The next game's got to be a stinker. Like, so Ottawa, with the exception of taking their foot off the gas for about 5-10 minutes, was a really solid effort.
Yep.
Right? How did they follow that up? Against Buffalo the next night, and they go into, I think it was the third period, they tie it up at 2, right? And then in a minute and a half,
the ass fouled at him.
I don't know where the Leafs went, but it was the Buffalo show, and it was just boom, boom, boom. And as if Buffalo was playing their equivalent of the Timbit, you know, little kids, the hockey players. They were just skating circles around. And it just, again, it's a lack of, to me, when I see stuff like that, it's a lack of desire, a lack of energy. And I don't understand how that happens. Again, after just 24 hours previous, you play a really solid game. And again, yes, I get that there's fatigue and all that, but every team goes through back-to-back. This cannot be an excuse. Well, back-to-back.
Good teams win those.
Yeah.
Good, great playoff teams, the Bostons, the Tampas of this world, any team in the Western Conference, sure. They know how to win these games, and Toronto hasn't done that at all. This whole season has been just terrible. And before, you could say, hey, okay, you're not playing your starting goalie, and we can look at a few things, but now things are changed, and they're still doing the same thing. They just want it handed to them.
Yeah.
They just want the other team to fold before they even play the game, and that's not how it is. And I'm really, really disappointed in players like Austin Matthews, who has the skill to be one of the top three players of the game, but he doesn't have the will to be that every night.
Yeah.
It's not like, honestly, I would trade all four of our big time forwards and retain 25% of their salary to have Connor McDavid on my team and start over.
Yeah.
Like, I just know that he would be livid. He wouldn't stand for this. He'd be the first one out on the ice and the last one out off the ice. It's a different breed, and I thought that Matthews could get somewhere near Connor McDavid. I don't think he'll never be anywhere near him, and I honestly think that when these 5 years are up to his contract, I think he's peace out, see you next year, got in Arizona, where he can make his money and not get criticized and not have pressure.
Yeah, I'll get to the not-so-fantastic four in a second. But so they have that stinker in Pittsburgh, where Travis, if we thought our defense had deficiencies before, I mean, after that game, my question was, what defense? I mean, I titled an episode of this show, do we even have a defense, or something along those lines? Do we even have defense or something along those lines? And that question really came up again because, like, on Crosby's goal, it looked like he could walk it into the net. Like, literally. Like, where are your sticks? Where are we playing badminton? Where are we playing, you know, cricket? Where are the sticks? Like, I don't know. Put them in the passing lane. At least make it seem like you're going to attempt to stop a Crosby's pass. No. It was just tic-tac-toe. Again, Pittsburgh was... I don't know. It was like the Harlem Globetrotters. And the Leafs were just standing there in amazement of what I can imagine them all going to each other. Wow, look at all the skill on this team. It's unbelievable. But here's the difference with Pittsburgh is they got the skill, but they got the work ethic to back it up. You know? But then, again, the Leafs dangle the carrot of hope, you know, in front of you and say, well, in the back-to-back, you know, on the home end of the back-to-back, the Leafs played. There's no question about it, Travis. That game against Pittsburgh at home, to me, was the best game the Leafs have played all season long, from opening whistle to closing whistle, or from the first whistle to the last, if you really want to get, you know, we'll go with our catchphrase. But it was just, again, the best example I can give you is this team is Jekyll and Hyde, you know? It's the best analogy I can make to it because you don't know which one's going to show up. They were playing as a five-man defensive unit. Pittsburgh really got nothing going for the most part. Our penalty kill was solid. We actually made use of a 5-on-3. I mean, there's a shocker.
I know.
You know, the back check, everything was on point that night. So now, here's the frustrating part about the Leafs. We know they can play the right way. We've seen them do it.
Oh, we have. It's just, they don't have any consistency. There's not a consistent bone in their body this year.
But
they can't do it multiple times. It's so frustrating.
It seems to me like the Leafs are essentially like a 4 to 6 year old, where basically, if they do something wrong, you got to tell them that they did something wrong and what to do right, and then they'll go out and do it because you said so, right? But then 2 days later, they'll go back to being a little, you know, a little pain in the butt, right? And then you got to tell them again, and then they'll do the right thing again, or they'll behave again. And the cycle was like, are the Leafs a bunch of 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds that after every game, either Sheldon Keefe has to pat them on the head, say good job, or you know, point his finger, say you guys did a bad job, you got to do better. Like, well, are we 5? Do we need to hand those stickers for good performance? Do you guys need lollipops? Like, I don't understand. Because here's the worst part. So after that game, instead of hey, this worked, let's repeat the good habits. What do? They come out, and again, for whatever reason, Carolina is like, there are a few teams that are the Leafs' kryptonite. Carolina is apparently one of them. Because I'm going to get to the Zamboni fiasco in a minute. But even before the Zamboni situation, the Leafs weren't really doing anything to mount any offense in Carolina's zone.
No.
It was just Carolina would come in, get a couple of chances, the Leafs would dump it out to center and get off because they were hemmed into their own zone. Right?
Carolina forechecked the hell out of the Leafs, and the Leafs couldn't handle it. The Leafs need to shore up their defense, and the Leafs need to get rid of a player like Johnson and take his $4 million in salary and use that to get a defenseman. They need to get rid of Tyson, but they need to let Tyson Barrie walk and bring in a defenseman with his money, and you got Rasmus Sandin there. There is elements of a good team there and a good back end, but you need to do the work. I don't hate Sheldon O'Keefe. I think that he's been doing the best that he can with what he was given.
Oh, yeah, you can't blame him. He's
23-13-4 since he started with the Leafs. Yeah. So, I mean, like, you can't fault him, but the team is just terrible, Adam. It's just there's no consistency to their game whatsoever.
I believe it was 4-1 when. So, for first, Reimer started the game. He goes down with some sort of mystery injury, right?
Yes.
Then comes in Mrazek. And then Mrazek gets run into by Clifford accidentally. Should not have been a penalty, but hey,
no.
The refs like to blow their whistle.
It was a 5-minute major, I thought.
Yeah, then they changed it to 2.
Yeah.
He should have been taken
still
out of the one. Yeah. The Leafs
shouldn't have been anything, but he made a 75-foot adventure.
The goalie came out and basically almost tackled Clifford. But anyway, so the refs made their call because they like to blow their whistle and seem, you know, useful. And so whatever we got, but Mrazek came out of the game, and because both goalies were out, what happens is you have to emergency backup goalie, and the one in this night happened to be the Zamboni driver for the Toronto Marlies. So now there's a guy coming on the ice for the Carolina Hurricanes who is 42 years old, has not played a professional hockey game in 5 years, okay, and is employed by the Toronto Maple Leafs organization. And when that happened, I thought to myself, all right, no disrespect to this guy who maybe in whatever league he played 5 years ago was pretty decent, you know, for what that is. But all we really got to do is start shooting on this guy and we'll get our goals, right? And my point was proven, and the commentators and everybody in the building's point was proven, because the first two shots that the Leafs take go in. They even almost tied it up at the end of the period. They had a chance to just put it wide. Okay, so going into the third, I'm thinking, all right, just keep shooting. We're good. Just keep it simple. Put everything towards the net and see what happens. Chances are we got a good shot of winning this game, even though we don't deserve it, but we got a good shot. And what proceeds to happen next, Travis, is, and you saw it, I saw it, millions of people in Canada saw it. The Leafs come out, and Carolina doesn't look like the nervous team. The Leafs do, because they're overthinking plays, taking too long, which allowed Carolina to forecheck them into oblivion, right? When they did get into the zone, what happened? They're falling all over the place, like literally tripping over themselves. Yeah, like, look, I walk with a cane. I've got a disability. Everybody knows that, or people who know me, Travis knows that, my podcast co-host knows that. I've fallen less times in the last year than the Leaf players were falling in that third period. It's ridiculous. And then I get it. Carolina was clogging the neutral zone. They were playing a five-man unit, basically, right? But the Leafs insisted on, well, we got to carry the puck in. We got to keep puck possession. What now? You've played professional some level of hockey, right?
Yes, I've played a nice bit of hockey in my years.
So you can tell. Maybe I'm, like I said, maybe I'm pulling this theory out of my ass. You can tell me if I'm right or wrong. But if they're clogging the middle of the ice and playing as a five-man unit, you know, standing up at their own blue line, my thought process would be, all right, we got to dump this puck into the corner and go get it. Right? Am I wrong?
You are 100% right, Adam. Even if you're not a dump and chase team, when people stack the line on you, this is a famous New Jersey tactic from way back, pre-lockout era, and you just got to do it. I know Toronto was big on puck possession, but this just shows that you need some dogs in there that can win the puck battles. And they just don't have that on their lines. They don't have it. Dubas is clearly seeing that what works in the AHL doesn't necessarily work in the NHL. And you need some hard digging wingers to go with those forwards. And maybe that's a point in time where Keith shovels his line up a little bit, brings Engvall up, brings Clifford up and switches around his lines a little bit, but that wasn't done nearly enough. And like you said, it's very easy to see for everybody else. All you needed to do was dump it in. You get your D-man to dump it in, and you get forwards coming with speed as they're dumping it in, so they can get in on the attack. And it's pretty easy to see, because all the Leafs had to do in the two periods prior was look at the game tape of how Carolina played, because Carolina did that regardless. That was Carolina's game plan. We're going to dump it in. Our forwards are going to win puck battles. Yeah. And we're going to have possession, and we're going to set up the offensive zone. And that's what they did. And you're right. That's all they needed to do. That and them looking for the perfect shot against a Zamboni driver.
Yeah.
The perfect shot. Like, cross-creek passes. I don't think Marner made one pass.
Oh, no. He was too busy falling all over himself.
And of all the players, I'm most disappointed with him, because he didn't deserve the number that he got. And he held out and put pressure on his team that it would go through another lockout. And sure enough, he got his money, and he's about $2.5 million overpaid.
Yeah.
Yet he took it all. He's on Apple commercials, and he's big name, big face, gets sponsors. Yet he wanted to suck every single dollar out of them, and it just was not a smart decision. And he just frustrates me every game. If you're going to get paid that much money, I don't want to see I don't even want to see one game, let alone multiple games, where you're a ghost, where you're not even playing out there. And that happens far too often. It's just so frustrating. Adam, I haven't been this frustrated with a loss since the Bruins put him out in 2013 when they were up 4-1. That was the worst loss I've experienced in the past 15 years, and this was a close second, only because it wasn't playoffs. This was so embarrassing. That dude was on every single sports talk show, even talk shows. Like, he was on the Today Show today. When was the last time the Today Show had anything to do with hockey ever? Yet he was trounced out there. They were laughing. Dan Patrick was like, "You beat the team that employs you." Ha 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 ha. He was on PTI in the first section. I was just like, "Oh my god!" Even like all of pro sports are laughing at us right now.
Travis, I'll tell you this. I'm glad you brought that up, because in my years of watching the Leafs, and I really started watching as a kid in 1991-92. Okay. So in that, how many years is that? 91, 01?
I was 20, yeah. You're getting close to 20. Yeah, I'm getting
20 years of this team kicking me in the nuts and breaking my heart. But anyway, in that almost 20 years, 19 years, I've seen a lot of crap. Like, I've seen some terrible performance. I've been in the building for some terrible performance. Here's an example. Remember that? I think they brought it up in the game too. Remember that 5-0 lead against St. Louis years ago?
I vaguely do, yeah.
Yeah, and then we lost 6-5 in overtime in the third period when they tied it up. And then in overtime, we lost the game. Yeah, I was there.
Ooh.
Remember that?
At least you got to see a lot of goals.
It was fantastic, yeah. Too bad six of them were in our end. Then there was a game against Atlanta, the first and last time I ever got to sit in a platinum seat. Right? I was really close. The Leafs lost 7-2. I brought my whole family was there. They lost 7-2. Remember the Fire Wilson game? Against Florida?
Oh, yes.
That was another 7-2 loss, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Guess who was there?
Were you chanting Fire Wilson? Right,
oh, yeah. Listen. look, that was one of the worst things I've ever seen in terms of watching gameplay. It's one of the worst I've seen live. But I will never not be happier that I was part of the chant that got Wilson fired. Look, I don't begrudge anybody. I don't want anybody to be fired. But in that case, he needed to be fired. And it was the only time that I felt that the Leafs could listen to me because I was in the building chanting that. But I saw that.
Well, Brian Burke did specifically say I couldn't put Ryan through this anymore after what he went through, and I gotta say it was justly deserved because Ryan Wilson was an asshat.
So I'll put that. Eventually I'll put that on my gravestone. Was there when they were chanting "Fire Wilson"?
Help get Ryan Wilson fired.
So I was there for that. As you mentioned, then the 2013, we had a 4-1 lead in Game 7. Third period, last 10 minutes, lost, got exited from the playoffs. Then I watched on TV again in Game 6 against Washington when Martin Marincin didn't cover his man in front of the net, went behind the net, and then cost us the game in overtime. And then last year, Game 7, up 3-2 going into the third. And deja vu all over again. But you know what? Yeah, I get it. Those are playoffs. Those are Game 7. They're bad losses. But at least there was a professional NHL number one goalie in the net that made saves, preventing us to get that extra goal that we needed. At least.
How many Zamboni jokes have I seen in the last 2 days, 3 days?
Yeah.
2 days? Crazy. It's crazy.
Let me just, for anybody that doesn't understand this, let me reiterate it nice and slow. The Leafs, a professional NHL hockey team, superstar, arguably, depending on who you ask, 6 top-tier forwards, superstars, some of them even, could not muster more than 8 shots in the third period and couldn't score against a 42-year-old Zamboni driver that they employ. That is, it's ridiculous.
It's just terrible, Adam. It's pathetic. And I'm going to be honest with you, part of me wants Florida to go on a massive winning streak and try to not make playoffs because you don't deserve to get rewarded for this shit.
They don't deserve to get in. And look, I want them to get in. You think I don't want my team to get into the playoffs? Of course I want them to get in. But let's look at the reality here. Who are we playing if we get in the third spot? We're playing Tampa Bay.
Or Boston, because Tampa could catch them, and we could get bounced by Boston. Oh,
fantastic.
But we won't even make seven games.
Let's just assume that it's going to be Tampa for now, right? What do you think? You think we're going to beat Tampa Bay once?
I think the series will be over after 3 games. Like, I don't even think that Toronto will come out. No.
You know the show, remember the show, A Thousand Ways to Die?
Yeah.
They're going to do a remake with the Leafs, A Thousand Ways to Lose.
Or A Thousand Ways to Kill Your Fans.
Yeah, this is an embarrassment of epic proportion. Like, Travis, Good Morning America is having the guy on laughing at how he beat his employer. And then, wasn't he supposed to, didn't he practice with us today or Sunday?
He said
he was going to bring the game pop.
He's always taking shots. Adam, he's beer league. Like, one of the things I seen was, one of the worst tweets I seen was somebody saying, I got a text from my friend saying, that goalie plays in my beer league.
Oh, God.
And I'm just like.
Because he said after, he goes, I'm going to practice with the guys tomorrow. I'm going to bring the game puck. Yeah, he probably brought the game puck and says, you guys want to touch it? Because you didn't touch it last night.
Or they probably just signed it, like, oh, here you go, congratulations, like, bravo.
And in their post-game conversations, they're saying, good on him? What good on him? Look, I know that he's your buddy. You don't say that during your post-game comments.
No, you just say, it's terrible performance for us. That's all you say. Here's
the only credit I'll give Marner, Travis. He actually called himself out and said his performance was dog shit. Which is about right.
Yeah, and maybe he should be like, I should give back the game check for this game. But no, he won't say that.
They'll never do that. The problem is, Marner thinks that he played dog shit just that night, just Saturday night. Problem with Marner is, he's been playing dog shit ever since he came back from the All-Star game.
Pretty much, yeah, Adam. And he had some lackluster performances before the All-Star game as well.
So,
the only one of the big four I've been satisfied with, and I do have some issues sometimes with, but William Nylander is the only one that's having a successful season to me.
He held out, right, for his contract, but he said, I'm going to be a dominant player. And
offensively, he is. He got a lot of work on defensive end, but that will come. But he's like 57 points in 61 games, I think it is for him. Or 54 points, sorry, in 61 games. He has 27 goals. He's already broken his career high goals. He's going to get to 30. So, I mean, I don't have much in the terms of complaints. Like, I don't think any team brings William Nylander in to be a big defensive player.
No.
I think you bring him in for points, but it's just more of the rest of the guys that I like. I'm sorry, Austin Matthews says he wants to be a two-way player. I want to see that. I seen that Thursday night when he played Pittsburgh. I seen him back checking the hell. You know, when I didn't see it, I didn't see it Saturday night. I didn't see it Tuesday night. So, I mean, sorry, bravo, you played good at both ends for one out of three nights. Bravo. Guess what? Leon Draisaitl puts up the same points you do, and he gets paid $8 million. He's already scored 50 once, and he plays a great two-way game. He penalty kills. He's on the power play. He does everything.
Yeah.
And he's getting paid $4 million less than you, or three, I'm sorry, three something. And he's a better player right now. And not offensively, it's a toss-up, but defensively, he is night and day, because he's more consistent. It's every game.
Two-way, he's been, Matthews has had it in spurts, but again, you're right, not consistently. Like again, I'll never take away from Matthews goal scoring because
same here, because that's a God-given ability that's fantastic. He's probably the best goal scorer we've ever had on the Leafs.
But he's got to be more.
Take that away from him.
He's got to be more consistent back checking. But in saying that, does Marner do it at all?
Last time I did it, seen him do it, Adam, was last year against Boston in the playoffs, because I haven't seen him do it very much at all this year.
And he got his money. He blocked the shot. That's right. I remember that.
He got all his money. You know, I'm just terrible. Like, to see players there that love playing together and wouldn't take $1 million each less, even though they love playing together and they love this market and love this team. Like, why wouldn't you take 8 or 9 and Matthews take 10 and keep Tavares? Why would you pay anybody more than Tavares? Why wouldn't you establish? Like, I'm pretty positive if it was Lou Lamoriello, he would have established that nobody's getting paid more than John Tavares. John Tavares put into work before he got.
Yeah.
But no, that's not. Like, I like some of the Dubas' trades, but some of his signings leave me a head scratching. He's like, he don't have the gumption to. If I was a GM and Mariner was pulling that crap with me, I'd be like, okay, you sit out for as long as you want, long as you.
Wow. I would have done it both with, in no disrespect to Nylander, but I would have done with both of them.
And like, even with Nylander.
And
or Adam, like, they got a discount, and it helped them for the future years for Capiat. Like,
but again, at least
going forward.
But at least, at the very least, Nylander said he was going to do better offensively, and he's doing it. And
well, look, he's career high, so
he's never going to be a defensive player. He's not.
No, but he's not a negative plus minus. He's a zero plus minus right now.
Yeah.
So he's not impacting them horribly on defensive end.
This is
just getting embarrassing. It's just
again, this is where I criticize Dubas. Four guys, no disrespecting their offensive skill, they're fantastic in that area, but four guys at $40 million plus on the cap, right?
Yeah.
And we haven't even won a playoff round with these people.
No, and Adam, I still would be okay with those four guys getting that money, get percentage of the cap, if you filled out the rest of the squad smartly. Like, I'm sorry, but given Kasperi Kapanen $4 million a year, given Andreas Janssen $4 million a year for 4 years each, that made no sense to me when you were in desperate need of help on the back end. I'm sorry, but getting Kerfoot at $3.5 million, Kerfoot's crap. Kerfoot's not worth $3.5 million.
No, we lost that trade big time. Like, the Kadri lost it. But we got Robinson back to Travis. We got Rosen back. That's going to solve all our problems.
I was supportive, and I still am, that you had to trade Kadri, but you can't get suspended for two straight playoff series.
That's fine.
Like, that made sense, but you had to make a better trade than that. That was not to take back that money from Kerfoot. Why would you just not and bring up somebody like Engvall could have played Kerfoot's minutes from the start of the year? He could have.
Yeah.
And he never, and at much cheaper cost. And that was a terrible decision.
And I would like to see Engvall on a higher line. Maybe he should be playing where Kerfoot is.
Oh, absolutely. And
why is Kerfoot playing with Tavares?
I think that's the person they think is going to dig in and win puck battles. I'd rather call Clifford there, if I'm being completely honest with you, just because he would fight and dig for pucks.
And I'm sorry, Travis, but that fourth line that we have, with Gauthier Spets is good.
I was going to say we can't criticize Spets.
No, Spets and Engvall. First of all, those two guys should not be on the fourth line. But listen, this Gauthier experiment, I think it's going to be over.
He works hard. See, it's so hard for me to be so mad, but he works hard. But look, there's more skill. There's more skill, Adam, in my pinky finger than was in his.
But here's the thing.
His full body. He has no hands.
Yeah, Travis, it's not even that. Look, I'll give him credit. He goes in the corner. You know what the problem is?
He can't stand up.
No, he rarely comes out with a puck. You can go in there.
He falls down all the time.
Yeah. So, I love the idea that he goes in there. But the whole idea is, when you're that big, right, you got to come out with a puck.
It's just embarrassing.
Here's an example. Korshkov, right? They brought him up for one game. I liked him. He was going in the corners, getting the puck. He even got a goal. And then what happened? Next game, oh no, you're down.
Same thing with Timoshov. He used to win puck battles in the corners. He was played hard. And we're waving you. Detroit picked you up, so bye-bye for nothing. And we're just going to keep Gauthier because, A, we didn't address our penalty killing face-off needs at all. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's they shot themselves in the foot. They did not plan, and they thought they could be like the Golden State Warriors of the NHL and completely change the way the NHL played, but hockey's not like that because there's 20 people that play. It's not just five or four.
And again, why is... That's an interesting point that you brought up because even the commentators mentioned it. Why do we not have a proper centerman playing on the penalty kill?
I don't even know.
Why is Hyman taking the face off?
He should be on the wing in the penalty kill role, but instead him and Marner.
And again, Gauthier's in the 40, 45, 46 percentile. Here's an idea. Just humor me for a second, Travis. Imagine they did this. They had Tavares go on, win the draw, and then get off.
I know, Adam. That's a very, very...
And then, guess what? For the second line of the power play, here's another idea. Have Matthews come on, win the faceoff, and then get off.
Or even Gauthier. Have Gauthier come out and take the face off. And then I wouldn't even take him out because he's such a big, big oaf of a man that pucks could just bounce off and not get to the net.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't even think he could block it on purpose. I think he just could.
He just stand there and, hey, oh, look, that thing hit me. What is that? Oh,
it's like when Matt Sundin played with Hetropath and Panikraski and Jonas Höglund. Oh. He was just shooting pucks off him and putting them into the net. It could go the other way for us and people shoot pucks at him and it go out of the zone. So it's just a lot of mismanagement. But I can't fault Keith because he didn't have this from the start.
That's something I hope that he sees that there's a problem and he changes it.
Yes. Maybe he just don't have the personnel right now. But to me, that's the role of Kerfoot's third line center. And because he can't seem to win a face-off and he's getting paid $3.5 million, you could find somebody at $1 to $2 million to do that stuff and have money left over. That's the thing you got to do when you have four people taking up so much of your cap space, and I'm not saying they're not talented, they are. You have to be super smart about how you fill out the rest of your roster. You can't give mini little small wieners like Andreas Janssen $4 million when he's just not the kind of player we need. We got the offense. We don't need that kind of winger. Zach Hyman. We need a hard digging in corner winger, not a winger that plays offensively. We don't need him out of, he's not going to go in and win puck battles. That's not what he does.
Yeah. It's look, like I said, for me, I want them in the playoffs because I love this team.
Same here.
But I'm under no illusions that
it will go well.
If they go in there, they're going to do anything. Like I said, in my opinion, right now, if they play Tampa, guaranteed it's a 4-game sweep. If they win a game, it's because Stamkos had the diarrhea the night before.
Well, I said it's going to be a 3-game sweep, so I'm full agreement with you.
If they win a game, it's because Stamkos and Kucherov have diarrhea. And if they play Boston, watch, rinse, repeat. We've been there. We've seen this movie. I hate saying this, but as much as I wanted to make the playoffs, maybe this team deserves to miss the playoffs.
That's what I'm under the impression of, Adam. Maybe that'll teach them some lessons and put some frickin' heat under Dubas's ass to get him in gear, because you got to be smarter than that. You got to be smart about how you fill out your rest of your roster. That's just the way it is. It's not like you got to make tough decisions. I love Morgan Rielly, but after next year, his contract's up. If he wants $8 or $9 million, you're going to have to let him walk. You're going to have to be like, sorry.
Or treat him at the deadline.
Yes, you're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to put on your big boy pants and look at this roster and see what works and what doesn't. Or Sheriff Shanny is going to send him packing. Because I just still think that, we still got to realize that you just 5 years ago, our fans were putting bags over their heads. And
I wanted to put a bag over my head on Saturday night. I'll tell you that much.
But I mean, we still don't have PA parental type people playing on our power plays.
Oh, God,
so I mean, we've experienced bad, but we expected better from this team this year, and we've been thoroughly disappointed for most of it. Most of it.
Yeah. To me, like I said, I just as much as it would pain me to have them miss the playoffs, maybe it's what this group needs as a wake-up call. Because right now, the way they play, they assume that they're just going to Harlem Globetrotter their way to wins. And like I said, I hate to agree with somebody like Craig Button, but the minute that things get difficult, they fold like a cheap suit.
They 100% do. You know what they should do, though? They should honestly... look at the Raptors, man. They're in your city. I don't understand. They lost their best player. They have injuries galore. Yeah. But, I never heard any of them ever get on there and make excuses or say anything other than next man up. We got to do what we got to do.
And what bothers me, Travis, is when people talk about the Raptors. And look, I like Paul Hendricks as an analyst. I really do. But man, he's such a homer. And he can't realize that this team ain't going right. Because, when fans will tweet at him complaining about, the state of the team, they'll say, well, yeah, but the Raptors have to go through the adversary and they lost to the Washington in 4 straight that playoff year. Yeah, but guess what? We've already had that adversary.
Yes, we had it for 3 years in a row. We lost to Washington, lost to Boston.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to say, okay, we need to make it to second and third rounds of the playoffs.
It's not like we haven't had... So, Paul Hendricks saying we haven't had that adversary. They're bullshit. We've had it for 3 years in a row.
And it's not like we're going up against LeBron or anything. Yeah. It's not like we got to play Connor McDavid in the 4-7 series.
These people got to stop with this adversity, because we've been through it. Listen, Leafs fans have been suffering. And I know some of those suffering didn't involve these players, but this is ridiculous. Like, I've said to friends of mine, listen, if you're a Leaf fan and you die, there should be an automatic pass in the, you know, the pearly gates when you're waiting to get into heaven. You should have an automatic card that gets you into through to heaven because of the crap that we've endured. And this is the worst. And here's the worst of it. I'm going to reiterate it again because it's so asinine and ludicrous. And I don't even know how they come to practice and they're playing Nickelback. Why they're playing Nickelback? Maybe that was their punishment. But apparently they were playing Nickelback at the practice. And then other days they're playing Lady Gaga. They're having a grand old time. And they're wearing their St. Pete's jerseys as if that's going to bring them luck. Bullshit. Listen, I'm going to reiterate this again. You guys lost to a 42-year-old Zamboni driver. Wait for it now. Here's the best part. I'm getting nice and close to the mic now. That you employ, you stupid morons. Have some pride. All four of you with the $40 million contract. How can you go out in the third period and perform like that? I don't give a rat's ass. I'm quoting Stone Cold now. I'm getting so pissed off. I don't care that I don't know, what your mindset was, that you thought it was going to be easy, that they're not letting you play the possession game. Dump it in and go get it. You work, skate, you know, what's part of hockey, which is skating, move, and get the puck, retrieve it, and shoot from anywhere. Hell, take the puck in the penalty box and flip it onto the ice and see what happens. I mean, at least you're putting it towards the net like that. More than what they were doing.
I just wish that one of those players would step up when you're losing and take the boom box and just destroy it. Like, just beat up.
Yeah.
Like, just snap. You don't see. It's just not enough hard.
Again, it seems to me, Travis, is the only one that gives a crap and the only one that goes out and tries to back up is, oh, we got to look in the mirror bullshit, is Muzzin.
Yeah. And Tavares, I haven't heard Tavares, like, you're the goddamn captain. Like, yeah. How about you, like, pull up your big boy pants and flip out and call people out and be like, you got to be better. Matthews, we need you to be better. Marner, we need you to be better. Like,
no,
I will drive Travis Dermott to whatever airport he needs to go to if you can get rid of him, because I think he is garbage. I'm out on him completely.
Yeah. And look, I'm not gonna dog too much on Justin Hall, because when he was playing in the bottom six of our D pairing, he was fine. Unfortunately, he's been elevated to having too many minutes because of Riley and CeCe being gone, even though CeCe's a useless sack of crap too. But Hall is not a top four, he's a bottom six defenseman. And he's just suffering from playing too much. So
he's a 15 to 18 minute guy at the DNF enough Jake Gardner syndrome all over again.
Yeah, folks, I've tried to be calm on this show. I've tried not to use inappropriate language, right? But
yeah, I've said it. I said ass like five times.
three. What is three episodes?
Yeah.
I haven't swore really, but I'm gonna teach everybody some Italian tonight. Because after a performance where, again, you lose to a 42-year-old Zamboni driver that you employ, there's only one word that needs to be said. And that word is va-fanculo. And if you want to know the spelling, I'm not going to tell you what it means. Here's how you spell it. You can look it up. It's V-A-F-F-A-N-C-U-L-O. Look it up, and that's what I just told the Leafs. But that's all I got. I'm done. I'll see you in the next 5 to 8 games, whenever we do this again. Maybe we'll still be in a playoff position. Maybe we'll be going for the bottom of the league. Who knows? But this is ridiculous. It's uncalled for, and it's a stain on this organization, the way they're playing right now in this last few games, and especially Saturday night. I got nothing else. Travis, if people want to continue the conversation about this shit show that we're in the middle of, where can they talk to you?
You can find me on Twitter at Travis_156. I promise you, if you send me any Zamboni driver jokes, I will definitely mute you. I may block you right away. I'm out of that. If somebody wants to send me a picture of them punching Sid 6-0, I will favorite you and retweet every tweet you ever tweet out again, regardless of whatever it is, because I like you, am totally like done. I tried defending his team, saying like they'll get turned around and stuff like that, but I fully endorse whatever you said to them in Italian.
Yeah, you can look it up. I'll tell you what it means off the show.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you what it means off the show, but I hope that something clicks in these next 5 to 8 games. I wonder if this might be a TSN turning point for the team, like realizing like how bad you're playing, but also I thought that would be Tuesday night, and clearly that wasn't. So like you said, they play a good game and suck us back in, and then drop the hammer on us again. What a terrible performance. So I don't think anything new is going to change, and I think that this roster needs some drastic changes in the offseason. So yeah, Adam, I'm with you, and I hope that things are different when we come back out here again.
Yeah, but until then, that's it for now, folks. Go take a drink, call your psychiatrist, whatever you need to do to get through this tough patch. We hope you'll be with us next time, and we hope we'll be talking about better performances and a winning streak. But as always, until next time, remember that it's Leafs forever, from the first goal to the last. So long, everybody.
Later, guys.